Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
All right, everybody, welcome back into Game Gone Wrong. Yes, the game might have started to go wrong a little bit here in this episode as we are here. This is part 5 of the project, and we are covering episode 4, season 8, Game of Thrones, The Last of the Starks. That is what we're talking about here. I, of course, am joined by my partners in crime on this little mini project. Let me go to the man himself, the man, the brainchild of this idea, the guy who came to me and says, you know, we should do this. And, you know, I pretty much do whatever he tells me to do. That's just what besties do. It is the one and only PC Tunney. Tunney, how are you doing? You're not agreeing with me on this.
Yeah, you do not do it. I've never made any unreasonable requests.
I've never, just that one night in Bangkok, but other than that,
okay, you know. So now, now I definitely would like to refute the conversation and look forward to talking dragons. I mean, maybe not. I actually, I'm not looking forward to talking dragons.
Yeah, there's a reason for that. We'll get into that in a minute. We, of course, are joined by our good friend, our partner in crime, the man with the best beard in all of podcasting, the true star, as I've said, on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, the one and only DJ. DJ, how are you doing, man?
I am doing pretty well, man. Like I said, fighting a little something here, but I'm going to grind through it. I think we're about to enter what Tunney would consider the 1995 of Game of Thrones.
Ooh. Good God, is this King of the Ring 95 that we're... It's not that bad. This is more like, this is like Rumble 95. Maybe, I'd say a little better than WrestleMania 11, that sort of thing.
Don't question the Jedi Master's Padawan.
You know what? Yeah, maybe in retrospect, you guys are right. So, like I said, we are talking about Season 8, Episode 4 of Game of Thrones. And this episode, like we said, is called The Last of the Starks. And as promised, things start to go off the rails and get a little bit, I don't know about dumb, but just questionable decisions made by many of our favorite characters here. So let's get into it. Let's start off with the beginning of this. You know, we start off this episode with the aftermath of the big war and the massive battle between the forces of light and the forces of darkness, the Night King, after Arya has stabbed the Night King, set everybody free, but there's still some cleanup to do, literally and figuratively, as we got to bury the dead. And it's a very somber funeral pyre scene that we get at the beginning. You know, we've got all the major characters are mourning their dead. Daenerys is mourning Jorah Mormont. you know, who loved her and, you know, has said that he went out the way that he would want to go out, protecting her. Theon, of course, Sansa is mourning him and the ultimate sacrifice he made. John looks at Lyanna Mormont, who little, you know, as young as she was, died very bravely. So you've got all this stuff. They light the funeral pyres and everybody's, you know, it's very sad. It's very touching. You know, I would say at the beginning of this, you get to feel the weight and the gravity of this moment and just how many people have been lost in this battle and the ripple effect and the repercussions of that. And, you know, you're barely done dealing with that. And then it's like, time to move on. You know, and I get you got to do that. It's storytelling. But before we move on, you know, your guys got any thoughts on this funeral scene and just kind of them, each one of the main characters, or at least three of the main characters, I think, Dany, John, Sansa, are all going through their own sort of like grieving process as to what's happened. So you guys got any thoughts about this opening scene?
Yeah, I thought it was very well done. I think it really kind of flows directly from The Longest. It was got The Longest Night was the previous episode, yes. Right?
Right. It or flows, The Long Night. I think I called the episode The Longest Night. I think it was The Long Night, but...
Long Night. Well, either way, right after that battle, it literally could have been a part of that episode. That's how seamlessly it flows. And so for the way that it was filmed, it was well done. Again, you feel the weight of the sacrifice. You feel the emotion of the characters who have gone on this journey, and we feel the loss of the end of the journey for the characters that we're saying goodbye to. And it hits all the emotional high spots. It really does very, very well in the first 10 minutes.
Funny. Yeah, that putting the dead to rest was well done. And you know, you're at the top of the roller coaster now because here it comes.
I'm at Magic Mountain.
I mean, seriously.
Here comes the drop.
It's really downhill here.
Yeah.
I'll explain it as we go.
Let's get into some of this nonsense because there's some definite. Yeah, we're halfway through the season and the wheels are starting to wobble a little bit. I'm not going to say they completely come off, but they're definitely wobbling. It starts off with this big feast with Gendry. He's looking for Arya. Daenerys publicly acknowledges him as a legitimate son of Robert Baratheon. Gendry is still trying to say he's a bastard, but he knows better. And Dany outs him as Robert Baratheon's legitimate son and then names him Lord of Storm's End. Now, when you look at everything else that's going on in this episode and the power plays that are taking place, clearly this is a strategic move on Dany's part, right? To curry favor, to go after loyalty. I'm going to name you the Lord of Storm's End. What do you think of that? Huh? Yeah, you're on my side? Yeah. I think there's something there. What do you think, Tunny? Is this ulterior motive time for sure?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Like it's elaborate. Rightful deliverance. The man was a rightful heir to the previous king. And in addition, a willing participant to help fight the actual fight that was going on, right, in the north. So, like, justified, strategic, very political. Like, that's fine. But deserved at the same time, right? Like, I don't think anybody in that room thought when it happened, like, oh, this is solely for political stance. They enjoyed it and thought it was justified. So I think there's a large part of that was there as well. Like Daenerys later in the episode spoke to Jon and said, I was so enjoying everything. And to me, that means everything was well-intentioned until she seen how they, and we're going to get to that, right? So that's kind of, I don't want to jump the gun, but I want to explain why I'm saying that I think it was equally well-intentioned as strategic.
At least it started off that way. And then...
Well, at that point, I mean, yeah, at the time, when it happened, that's justification.
True.
Right?
At the time, it was justified, and then things are going to get weird. Deej, your thoughts about... What do you think? Is this strategic on Dany's part? I think Tunny's got a point that maybe she started off with the best of intentions, and the actual effect of the cause is more of a loyalty power play. Maybe?
I think it's more strategic than Tunney does for reasons that he started to allude to that we are going to get into here in just a couple minutes.
Okay, fair enough. That makes a lot of sense. So we get this big feast that's going on. And this is tying into what Tunney's talking about. You get to see all these people rallying around John, and John is just this natural leader. And Dani, you see the cracks in the foundation. She's visibly isolated. She's visibly uncertain. I don't know if it's jealousy or resentment that she's feeling right now. It's something. And you get to see it. And that's like what Tunney's saying. This starts off, maybe she had good intentions. But once she starts seeing the people rallying around John and she knows the truth of his rightful claim to the heir, you start to see the wheels turning in her head. And it's not in a good sort of way. Beyond that, let's just tie a few things together here and then we can talk about them all. Not on my bingo card, guys. It's the fact that Brienne and Jaime get together and they get it on. So there's a big conversation that takes place about, you know, everybody's drinking, or maybe Brienne's faking like she's drinking, but it comes out that she's a virgin. And as soon as Jaime hears that, he's all like, you know, like Tunney did earlier with the leaning in, I'm a virgin. Jamie's like, huh? That ass? What? Wait, what are we talking about? And he's off like a hound. There you go. Tunney's
up. From being the slayer to the poon slayer.
Slayer indeed.
Episode title.
What? From player to poon slayer?
King slayer to poon slayer.
King poon slayer?
No, maybe. King slayer to poon slayer.
Wow. I'll write that down, but yeah, maybe that sounds like a good one.
I'd have done it.
I like it. Kingslayer to Poonslayer. Yeah. All right. So they get together in one of these things. And I mean, it's nice in a way, but at the same time, it's like, what the fuck is going on here? Tormund is very unhappy about this because he loves the big woman. And although he's got a couple of little nymphos running around him saying, hey, I'll touch you too. It's like, you know, it's a 2-for-1 trade there, big man, big red. But it doesn't matter because Brienne's going to go off and have a tryst with Jaime, which not on my bingo card. And to be honest with you guys, not thrilled about that. While I love those two characters, them getting together makes no goddamn sense. After everything they've been through, it's like, okay. At the other end of the spectrum, Gendry, who is now, of course, he is now Lord of Storm's End. He professes his love to Arya and proposes to her, but she turns him down because that's really not who she is. You know, she's not going to be a lady. She's not going to be a queen. Arya is a different kind of creature entirely. So I'll stop there and I'll go to Deej first on this thing to kind of like break down this stuff happening at the feast. Dany starting to kind of deteriorate mentally, or at least psychologically damaged, watching this stuff going on. This Brienne Jaime thing shouldn't bother me as much as it did, but it kind of like, man, no. And then Arya and Gendry and, you know, and again, this is like, look, I understand, Gendry, you got a piece of ass from Arya and you guys, you know, gave it up to each other. And now suddenly you're in love. And I just like, okay, wait, what are we doing here, guys? So some definite cracks in the foundation showing here. Maybe that should be the episode title, is a little safer, Cracks in the Foundation. But Tony's like, no, go with the Poon Slayer. All right. You know, okay. Deej, your thoughts on this stuff happening right here in this aspect of things.
I'll preface what I'm about to say with a lot of the arguments for the final season was that it was rushed. And I think there's a solid argument to be made here in these particular scenes that all of this felt rushed.
Yeah.
You know, Jaime and Brienne getting together, Gendry all of a sudden I'm professing his love for Arya.
Yep.
And the Jaime and Brienne off character for both of them, Arya saying no, very much on brand for yes. Where her character ended up in life.
Sure.
So, you know, all of these things, more importantly, is the breakdown in Daenerys. And again, this is where I really think the finality of this show suffered the most, because you really could have done an entire season on her descent. They've been telling us for 7 seasons she's a Targaryen. They have a history of going crazy. And Mormont has been her moral compass for 7 seasons. And then she lost him. She started to waver a little bit. He came back. He got her back to center. Now he's gone, like definitively gone. And it's not because she exiled him. Like, he's out of her life completely. He's dead and gone. So now she has no moral compass. And really, again, going back to what he said, you could have made an entire season out of her descent. Unfortunately, because of time constraints and where we're at, this is her story arc is the one that suffers the most in this whole thing. One, and I don't know if we've reached that scene yet. There was one scene that I love that you didn't mention. I can't remember where it's at in the timeline of the show. Sansa has a moment with the Hound, and they're talking about, and this is my favorite conversation.
Oh, the little bird. Yeah.
Little bird conversation. They have this wonderful conversation. It's my favorite part of the whole episode. And he says, you know, you've changed, little bird. He's like, if you had come away with me, none of the things that happened to you would have happened. And she's like, if I had gone with you, I would still be the little bird. And I thought that, again, there's still brilliance in the writing here in pockets. So,
yes.
Like, yeah, not complete. The wheels are starting to wobble, but we're not off the tracks yet.
Sonny?
No, we're rushed. TJ hit it right away. Like, the first three episodes, you don't feel it, but here you do, because immediately, and they almost like out themselves, whereas Sansa's like, we need to slow down, but they don't. And well, it's just like the art is imitating the real life perception, right? It's insane here. So that, I mean, it's just, it's fast. And then
and loose.
Here's where we're going, Dave.
Don't tell me yet.
I'm going to be real general. Here's where we're going and why a lot of people are mad, because we've kind of getting to that point. And I think DJ is going to get what I'm laying down here.
Yeah.
A lot of
I smell what you're cooking.
Immediately about to happen is all pointless in the end.
Okay.
And that's the most frustrating. They don't deliver on a lot of the shit they're laying down here. So I want to cushion your fall here.
No, I want to hit the ground at 80 miles per hour. I want all my bones to be splattered like all you guys were, apparently.
Fucking head bounce like a goddamn basketball.
I think of Megadeth's High Speed Dirt. That's what.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. It's either that or the Symphony of Destruction. It's something Megadeth related here at this one. So, and here's where things start to really. This is the biggest fucking part of this that I'm just like, what the shit? So we know that John told Danny about his heritage. And like, you know, how we talk about on wrestling, how it's so hard to keep a secret. This whole episode is, oh my God, nobody can keep a fucking secret. Don't tell anybody. What do you do? I'm going to tell somebody. Don't tell me. What do they do? They tell it. It goes from like two people knowing the truth. Well, you know, three with Bran. Well, I take that back. Sam knows as well. So there's at least four people who know the truth. By the time we're done with this episode, you can multiply that by a factor of two or three, right? Because John tells Danny, I got to tell my family the truth. Danny's like, no, it'll ruin everything. I love you. I want to be with you. John's like, I have no desire to be king. I just want to serve you, my queen. She's like, well, the only way you can do that is to not tell your family. I got to tell my family. What the fuck are you doing? What are we doing? Why do you don't have to tell them anything. You know, make your decision. If you tell them, it's going to go one way. If you don't, it goes another way. So Danny begs him. She has never begged anybody in her life, or at least for the past seven seasons, begs him, don't tell anybody. So what does John do in this moment where Sansa is questioning? Arya and Sansa both want a word with John because they're not sure what the fuck's going on. What does he do? He tells them about his, you don't hear him say it, it's off screen. He tells them, don't tell anyone. So Sansa, who can't stand Daenerys, immediately goes and tells Tyrion. He then tells Varys, and now you've got this political upheaval because Varys, once he learns this, quickly makes a decision. I'm in Jon's corner. And he starts questioning, like we're saying, he starts questioning Daenerys's mental stability because she's a Targaryen. Jon would be a better ruler. Tyrion is still loyal to Daenerys, although he recognizes what's going on with Jon as well and his claim to the throne. He's telling Varys, don't betray your queen. So there are a big split. So in the span of 15 minutes, 20 minutes of the show, this secret that was supposed to be secret is no longer a secret. Everybody and their fucking mother knows about it. And everything is shot to shit. And I'm just like, you want to talk about rushed? This is an example of, holy shit, was this rushed? And in the worst way possible, it's like, nobody can keep their goddamn mouth shut. You know, these people who have been the pillars of morality. Well, not some of them have. Jamie, you can leave him out. But I mean, you know, some of your heroes and stuff like that, like nobody can keep a secret. Keep your fucking mouth shut. Nobody does it. Tunney, I'll go to you because after this nonsense happens, there's no coming back from this. Right? You can't come back from this. Now you've created, if there wasn't division before, you have absolutely created it now. Now nobody trusts each other. Everybody's got all political, you know, insinuations and like, here's where I want to go with this thing. Go ahead, man. I yield the floor to you.
So the only thing that you didn't bring up was
after I fucked up in one place. Is that what you're saying?
No. Okay. After the relief of victory and the slight euphoria goes away, the part of what next sets in.
Yeah.
And it sets in real and hard, right? And Sansa, more than anybody else, who we arguably put up there with Tyrion and others as the smartest person in this entire show. Like, she's brilliant. Like, she's more about defending her heritage than any man on this show. So I just, Sansa to me is epic. She's up there. It's ridiculous.
But she is, but don't kid yourself for a second that as soon as she found out who Jon was, that was her in. There, here it is. This is how we're going to take Daenerys down. I adamantly believe she wanted.
I can't fairly argue with you right now. Right, DJ?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNC's apply in-app only.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water. Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
Absolutely not.
I'm sure that's going to bear its ugly head pretty soon. But Deej, what did you think of all this stuff where nobody can keep a secret? The political lines are drawn. You had to be united to beat the Night King, and you got to be united to beat Cersei, and that shit ain't happening at all now.
Yeah, if nothing else, even like, you know what you have in front of you, and you're sitting in your war room trying to debate that, like, Daenerys is ready to go to war right now. Yes. And Jon, of course, wanting to support his queen, is like, you know what, we're going to do what she says because she's the queen. Meanwhile, Sansa and Arya, like you said earlier, are like, okay, no, that's not the best course. So Jon, his strategic, brilliant military mind was to divide. Like, you're going to conquer someone else by dividing your own team. And that's, to me, again, we go back to characterization. For a guy who didn't want the throne, that's a surefire way to rally people behind you to make sure that you get the thing that you don't want. And it is very obvious that your own family is against your queen, and you want to definitively drive that wedge in there. Absolutely nonsense. Absolutely no sense whatsoever.
Divide and conquer does not always work. And it certainly is not going to work here. So yeah, let's move on, because, you know, we got, and this part I just like, so Jamie finds out that Cersei's in danger, right? And, or at least he thinks she's in danger, or something's going to happen. You know, they're going to burn King's Landing to the ground. So even though he's abandoned her, fought by the sides of all these people, put his life in complete peril, the moment he finds out that they might attack Cersei and burn King's Landing to the ground, he goes, he leaves Brienne, who's heartbroken, and begs him not to, saying, "You're not a monster." And he's like, "Yeah, I am." But we don't know why he's really leaving. Is he going because he loves Cersei? Is he going to kill her? What the fuck is he doing? This made no goddamn sense either. I'm like, wait. You know, you already left her and pledged your allegiance somewhere else. Now you find out that the exact reason, you knew this was going to happen. And now all of a sudden, because we have confirmed that this is going to happen, I got to take off and run back to her who tried to have me killed. I mean, another scene we didn't talk about is Bronn showing up in the bar with the crossbow, cutting a deal to be, I forget what deal he cuts with Tyrion and Jaime.
Highgarden.
Landon title.
So, yeah, DJ, I go to you first. Jaime making poor life choices all over the place here in this episode.
The way they stuck the landing or lack thereof with Jaime's entire story arc is probably one of the top three. And let me preface, moving forward as we finish this series, I did not have as big a problem with how Game of Thrones ended as a lot of people did. But I can absolutely understand the arguments, and this is one that I had. Jaime Lannister's story arc going the direction that it goes, probably one of the top three most disappointing things for me in how they just did not stick the landing.
Cool. I got something to look forward to. Awesome. And I hate it because Jamie's grown.
Jamie is anything to look forward to, sir.
Yeah. Jamie's grown on me. So I liked him, but man, just bad decisions made in this episode that I'm just like, bro, the fuck are you doing? First you take Brienne's virginity, then you dump her and go back to your fucking sister. I'm like, shit, what happened?
I don't know.
All right. Anybody got anything on Jamie's oh so brilliant decision to abandon Brienne and go back to King's Landing, Tunny?
I think he had a brief moment of trying to find his brother. Oh. Of trying to find his brother and then quickly realized that, you know, the funny thing, it like the problem I have is like they all move on so fast from saving the fucking world. You know,
well, it's insane. Right. And I mean,
I understand the threat of the South, but like Sansa has, I don't know if we're getting to that point yet or not, but she has a point. Like, why don't we just take a week or so?
Exactly. But now we know he's going to go back. Euron's going to find out that it's Jaime, that Jaime's the father of this baby who Cersei has convinced him is his. So I already know we're going to have a fight to the death there. And now, okay, whatever. Fuck it. Let's go to the dragon ambush. Of all the scenes in this series that were heartbreaking for me, Rhaegal getting killed in midair, getting ambushed, shot through the chest, shot through the head. Daenerys basically deciding to stand down to all this shit and somehow surviving this thing because they've been ambushed. Meanwhile, Missandei gets captured during all this stuff as all the ships are destroyed. Dude, I mean, I hated this fucking scene because I hated seeing the dragon die. And that really, I mean, it's one thing to see him turn into an undead dragon. This was heartbreaking for me. And it's like, God damn it. At the last episode, I remember asking you guys, how many dragons are left? Two or one? Well, it's kind of academic now because we're down to one. And just, I don't know. Deej, what did you think of this? I mean, it just, were you as crushed as I was to see the dragon get wiped out? Because that really sucked.
I was. It's like, again, you as much as we talk about all the characters and everything, the dragons became as much a part emotionally connective tissue to this series as anything did. And we've already lost one. They turned it into an undead dragon, and then ultimately it, you know, met its demise. And, you know, now we're down to one. It just very, very hard scene to watch.
Yeah. Honey, what do you think? I mean, I think after we get to House of the Dragon at the end of it, where the dragons vanish, because now when you look at House of the Dragon, they're everywhere. But I think by the time you get to the end of that series and this one, where there's this big gap of time where there's no dragons, and then you look at, you know, for Danny, see, like for Danny, here's the thing, man. Losses just keep mounting on top of her, right? And if you wonder why her mental state degrades as much as it does, and I haven't seen the last two episodes, but I can already see the writing on the wall that she's about to go batshit crazy. And I look at it and I'm like, okay, let's start talking about the cumulative nature of these losses. She's lost her claim to the throne because John has the better claim to it. She's lost two of her children now in the dragons. She's probably lost John, who she legitimately loves. She's lost the support of at least one of her closest advisors in Varys. This stuff just keeps adding up and adding up, and you start to wonder, well, why does Dany go off the deep end? Well, you know, anybody is going to buckle under all that kind of strain. But Tony, getting back to the dragon getting wiped out, I mean, how did you feel about that?
For Dany, it's not easy having big shoulders. The dragon wipeout, like, what was worse? You know, that or all the destruction that you've seen in Longest Night, right? I mean, yeah. This was so unexpected. Like, the way they shot this, it was like, holy shit, boom. So we're down to one.
We are down to one indeed. And then we get to the end of the episode, which is this big standoff, which is infuriating as well. Because it's like how, you know, anybody who's watched The Walking Dead, I don't know, have you, Tony, I know you haven't watched The Walking Dead. Deej, did you ever watch The Walking Dead?
I watched the first three seasons.
So you watch, remember the scene with the governor where they're about to take the prison where he kills Herschel, right?
Yes.
This reminded me of that scene so fucking much. Like, holy shit. Like, and I'm convinced you stole this from them because it is the exact same thing. You know, it's like, substitute Rick Grimes for Tyrion, because Tyrion's trying to talk to Cersei, who's the governor. Right? You see the parallels I'm drawing here? And he is trying to talk sense to her, trying to talk peace. I know, Tony, you haven't seen this. Trust me, it's the exact same scene with different people. And he's trying to plead peace. He's trying to say, you're not a monster. There's good in you. She acts like she fakes like she's listening, similar to what the governor did. When in reality, she doesn't give a fuck about your pleas for peace. And she basically tells Miss Sandy, if you got any final words, you better say them now. And then she, you know, Missandei screams Dracarys, the mountain comes and beheads her. And here's the last loss that Dany could take at this point. Because you can see when she walks away from here, realizing this was a waste of my fucking time, and I had to sit here and watch one of my best friends and closest advisors get killed. And you can see the look in her face as she's walking back, the fury that's building within her, the mental degradation that's going on. She's done. This is over. And now the price will be paid. And, you know, and on top of all this stuff, John's going to be there soon. And John ain't got no love for Cersei. So you already know that when he gets there, there will be a reckoning of some sort, or at least it seems that way. Now, if they fuck that up too, which I'm sure they do, that's going to be disappointing. But this scene was hard to watch because it's like, because yeah, I did the whole time. I'm thinking this is the governor. Missandei's Herschel. This is going to end the exact same way. And sure shit, it ended the exact same way. When you're on the brink, the precipice of war, and you've got, you know, have you ever seen a scene where armies are lined up on opposite sides? And granted, these are small factions of the armies. These are just little representations of what's going on. I have yet to see where two armies are like this and they walk away peacefully with nothing happening. Look at Braveheart. look at Saving Private Ryan. Look at
Dances with Wolves.
You, whenever you get people who are that charged up to fight, they are not going to walk back from the edge. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen here. And this was just a nice try, Tyrion, But this is a disaster of utmost epic proportions, and we're well on our way to war. Go ahead, Tony.
A question I wanted to ask you, Dave, while I was watching this, it came up in my head, and I knew DJ knew what was going to happen. But did you think Cersei was going to push her off the ledge as opposed to, like, superhuman dude fucking cutting her in half?
Yes.
Cutting her head off?
It crossed my mind. It crossed my mind that she would just push her off of there. That would be probably more emphatic and even more devastating than what they did, which was to give her a quick death, you know, that sort of thing. Right. And I'm not here to suggest Cersei was merciful in any fucking way at all, because that's not what was going on. But yeah, I see what you're saying. And it definitely did cross my mind that, yeah, she's just going to push her off the edge, let her fall to her death. And that's going to be the end of that. But yeah, this is just like, you know, you look at tropes and things that people are doing, and this is kind of tropey. You know, it's like nobody, you don't get people on the brink of war like this. I mean, it worked earlier, like in the you know, where they went to visit her and decided to join together, although Cersei was lying, that sort of thing. But yeah, you just knew where this was going to go, that this was a bad idea. These are people who have centuries of hatred build up that are all fighting for the same thing. And it's not going to end peacefully. It was naive of Tyrion to think so. And I love Tyrion as a character, don't get me wrong. But at some point, he turned into hopeless romantic. And this was a wake-up call for him. Deej, what do you think?
I think his problem is exactly the same as Jaime's for very different reasons. He loves his sister. He loves his sister, and he will always believe up until he has absolutely no faith left in her, and he still has it at this point. Missandei's death, top two most gutting for me in the entirety of the series. What a pure character. And I think it probably only topped by, and forgive me because I forget the name, the girl that got burnt at the stake by her dad.
Oh, Stannis' daughter, right?
Yeah, and she had
the grayscale. Yeah.
Yeah,
grayscale. That was number one. This is a very, very, by a very slim margin, number two most heart-wrenching deaths in this entire series. And yeah, like you said, we're on the brink of war, and everybody just says, well, no, not today. Another day.
Yeah, they after this happens, they're going to walk away and, you know, regroup. I got my one dragon left. John's going to be there pretty soon. I'm hoping that Dany doesn't do something rash and stupid, although I'm pretty sure she will. Hopefully she waits for John to show up and redouble your forces, because John is, yeah, Dany's got dragons. John has much more combat experience than she does and is a better soldier and a better leader. And I do agree with Varys on that part, that John is a better leader. He's a natural leader. That's not to say Dany's not, because Dany is a natural liberator. That's what she's been doing, going around the world liberating people. She's fantastic at that. But for what, you know, actually needs to be done here, yeah, John's probably the better choice. What do you guys think?
It's a great liberator, though, because, like, you have three dragons. It's, okay, do what I tell you, I'm going to eat you. Does that really take a whole lot of, like, negotiating skills?
That's
think
true.
Think about where the character growth is. It's not in Daenerys, right?
Yeah.
It's in the people around Daenerys, but it's not in Daenerys.
Yeah. At the end of the day, like I said, they've been telling us for 7 seasons, she's going to go crazy. It's going to happen. We're just going to drag you along for 7 seasons and try to prevent it from happening, but it's going to happen. They've laid this out.
And you're watching it happen.
No one trusts her but Jon. And Jorah's dead.
And Jorah's dead. The moral compass, like you guys said earlier, her moral compass is gone.
That was
the
DJ, person who, not us.
I know. DJ said that. The person who the person who grounded her is gone. DJ, I wanted to ask you one thing you said, because Tyrion, you said Tyrion loves his sister. Do you think he loves her, or is he trying to get acceptance from her?
Both. I think he genuinely loves her. He knows who and what his sister is. But deeply, there is still a love there for her. Not obviously not the same love that Jaime has, but it's there.
Yeah, Tyrion can't reach. Jaime can. But anyway, I just, you know, from Kingslayer to Poonslayer, baby.
I'll bet you Tyrion's bigger.
It's like, right, he's got that baby's hand down there like Ric Flair. Woo! All right. You got any guys got any final thoughts on this fourth episode of Game of Thrones? We got 2 episodes left before the end of the show and the end of the project. Yeah, this wasn't a god-awful episode. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't bad. There were bad decisions made by people I have more respect for than that. And just really questioning, like, what the fuck are we doing here? That was my biggest problem, is a lot of this didn't make any sense. Like, DJ hit it right off the bat, and it dawned on me listening to him. The second he said it, I'm like, yep, that's it. This is rushed. This is like if you drug this out to 8 episodes, you could have done so much more with the season and probably fixed a lot of the shit that is eventually going to go wrong. But this felt rushed. Like, Tony, you were saying, they didn't take any time after winning the ultimate battle to say, yeah, let's decompress for a couple of days. Let's all just get laid and drunk for a couple of weeks. They didn't do any of that. So it's like right back into the fucking thick of things. Well, I defer to you guys.
Where Daenerys, after Missandei gets killed, she walks away. It's like, oh, now you want to rest. Now yeah. You want to break. You were in a big-ass hurry to fly your ass over the ocean to go to war, and all of a sudden something bad happens. You're like, maybe Sansa was right. Let's take a break here. And you walk away, like, at the brink of what? Stop it.
Yeah, why didn't she just launch the dragons right then and there? Now, maybe she just didn't have the full complement of her army there, but, what?
No, yeah, that was definitely a mission to negotiate. I hope you enjoyed this episode.
It's so ominous. Thank you. I can't wait for these last two episodes, because it's just going to be a train wreck. But that's okay. It's all right. I'm fully prepared for all the debauchery that will take place. But that's going to do it for this week, or this installment of Game Gone Wrong. 4 episodes down, 2 to go. The wheels are wobbling. They're not completely coming off, but it sure sounds like we're about to blow the engine and the tires to, steal some F1 shit coming up in episode 5. It's like, God damn, is this a Renault engine or what are we doing here? Anyway, that's going to do it for Game Gone Wrong. Guys, let everybody know, where can they check you guys out on social media? This time around, I'm going to go to the bearded one first, the one and only DJ. Where can people check you out on social media, my friend?
You can check me out on the app formerly known as Twitter at The Mindless Pod. You can listen to myself, Rob, and Jason each and every week on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast as we give you our mindless takes on the world of pro wrestling.
They're not mindless. They're very intelligent people. But I will say again, as I've been saying for a couple episodes now, DJ's the star of that show. Don't get it twisted. DJ's the star. The other guys are good. DJ's better. You should run with that, man. You say, these other guys are good, I'm better. DJ, that's free for you, my friend.
Put myself over.
Put yourself. Exactly. Why not? Yeah, exactly. Tony,
busy putting everybody else over.
Tony, where can people check you out on social media, my friend?
You can find me at prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot selling t-shirts, or you can find me on Chairshot Radio Network on all of your favorite streaming platforms.
You can check me out on my burner account at It's Ray Cash. That's R-E-Y-C-A-S as in dollar
Flash
sign.
Gordon, bitch. Watch
yeah.
It.
Flash Gordon. That should be Ray's new handle. I'm going to tell him that. Flash Gordon, bitch. There you go. I'm going to message him that as soon as we're done. Oh, that'll be awesome. But no, you can check me out on X at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude AGG. Facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression and at Attitude of Aggression. All one word on Instagram and Threads. That's going to do it for this week's. Of course, go to the website, attitudeofaggression.com, where the Game Gone Wrong episodes are all at. Yeah. Next time out, episode 5. What could possibly go wrong other than everything? We'll see. Guys, thank you so much for being with me here tonight. I certainly appreciate it. We will see you soon for episode 5, as the game is certainly going wrong. So long, everyone.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.